News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777, and by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block off East Cotton, open 7 days a week. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Well, guess who's here? You don't know who's here? Melissa Sargent. We got that microphone neat over there.
I don't know where I'm at anymore. I feel like I'm in a closet all day.
Well, you are. You're on the wrong microphone, basically.
Am I on the wrong microphone?
Oh, yeah. I can't quite hear you. But, you know, that's okay. Testing one. Two, three, one. That's why we do. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. He wants you to move over there. Okay. You can handle it.
I'm moving. All right.
Hey.
Yes.
Three, two,
Michael,
one. Good
I'm
morning,
moving.
Melissa.
Good morning.
And you know you can tell this is live radio because we wouldn't have done that on our recording. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to the El Paso History Radio Show. Like last week, we need to be able to hear about something else than the main issue of the day. So we are proceeding with the radio show that we had planned weeks ago for today. And stop moving the mic. You know what? You got to tighten up that thing. Or, there you go. Anyway, okay. Now you can move it. So wait, this is live radio.
Okay.
So we're going to do the radio show that we had planned anyway for today. And we still say Texas history begins in El Paso, so good morning,
good
Melissa.
Good morning, and good morning to all the inmates out there like us, you know.
That's the way it goes. And what we got to do today, stop moving, just talk where it is. But we have another radio show on KTSM AM 690 about the area history as usual. I understand that the go to the radio station, ktsmradio.com, the app, you need to get to the iHeart app to actually get us. Because the click-on button apparently on the website is not well today.
Oh, no.
That's what I hear. So
wake up. Get better.
So I have answered your question. Go to ktsmradio.com. You can, but the better thing is...
Go to iHeartRadio.com. Yeah. It's a much better place, and you can pick up, you know, when you get done listening to us, and you can also listen to other great stations on iHeart, too. So
they got lots going on there. And so the thing is, we're departing from normal, like a lot of things are, no trivia today, and there's a couple of reasons. Your cue.
Because I am not reading my script.
Trivia is suspended.
Trivia has been suspended because of, you know, with all the restaurants being closed and our sponsors don't need to be giving away anything right now because they need to hang on to every penny, and we hope you will visit them also.
Yeah, and they're not closed for takeout. Both Amigos and the one over there on Donovan called Pepe's, I've been to both this week. Fabulous food. Yeah. It's still the same good stuff. It just comes in styrofoam. And you walk out the door with it, and I give them I give them $20 for a $10 thing and don't have to touch anything, and they really appreciate the money.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
So you get the history moment for sure.
Yes, I do. I have the history moment, and it's about the Spanish influence of the area through our missions that we have.
Oh, there's some serious Spanish influence. In fact,
yeah.
That's kind of what we're doing today. I also want to explain, we're not going to lunch. We encourage you to go to Pepe's and Amigos. And also, the website for Mission Del Rey Southwest is... MissionDelRey.com. They cut the Southwest off when
that's
you get
right,
to
That's right, I forget. I
but see, those guys
in.
Are good sponsors. Patrick Tuttle Real Estate as well. And so we have that. Now, let's talk about somebody that's going to talk on the radio today. Let's actually put her on in the radio. Her name is Martha Vera. Good morning, Martha. As soon as I get the right button pushed, and there you are. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Oh, fine. How are you, Martha?
We're doing good. We're set in, too.
We're sitting here chipper and happy, and the policy, we don't have live guests in the studio, but you're alive on the phone, are you not?
Yes, I am.
Ah, good, because here's what we want to ask you. Your title, give us the title that you have as the Consul of Spain to El Paso, is that it?
Yes, I'm Honorary Consul of Spain in El Paso. I actually cover 18 counties, which takes us from El Paso to the Big Bend and up the Panhandle. So I kind of take care of Spanish citizens that are here to work or study. I help people get their visas to go and study in Spain. This is U.S. people that would like to study in Spain. So that those are the basic consul
duties.
That's the basic duty.
Responsibility. Okay, and I was wondering what that meant.
And then the other are to promote Spanish history, culture, have people understand the culture and the beginnings in the New World, which actually created the Mexican culture is Spanish and indigenous cultures that were blended together.
It's an interesting history we have in El Paso particularly. I mean, we might as well just start with the name of the city, El Paso. That's got to be Spanish.
Yes, it is. Actually, the El Paso del Norte was Ciudad Juárez. When Don Juan de Oñate had come here and he was looking for a way to get across the river, he ended up first in San Elizario. San Elizario actually happened to be on the other side of the river. This, the river would change courses because of flooding. So the river was huge, and so they were coming up the side of the river to see where they could cross. There was really no place they could cross. It was deep. It was fast.
It was April.
It was muddy.
It was April. And so, therefore, the Colorado snows had melted. And since there was no Elephant Butte Dam in 1598, the whole bunch of snow showed up at once here in El Paso. It just blanketed the place. It did that a whole lot. And so he had a time. He came up on what would be the southern side of that big, messy river at the point. And first of all, the river saved him, right? He showed up and nobody had any water. And so the river saved his group. But then
they had some water with them, but the water was good and it provided more water and a place for them to stop and settle and rest for a little bit. Coming up the river, then they found a rocky area. And this is, everybody remembers La Hacienda restaurant? It's right there where they crossed.
That was originally Hart's Mill, that building, and then they took it over as a restaurant later on. But the crossing is right there, and now if you want to get across the river right there, you have to go to the International Boundary Water Commission and get a key because it's a huge gate there. You can't do that anymore.
Right.
But that's technically the historical spot, and it wasn't so much it was the pass in the mountains. It was the fact that it was a place across the river, the point on a map where they crossed the river became the point known as El Paso del Rio del Norte. Am I correct?
Right. And actually, initially, Don Juan de Oñate called it La Puerta, El Portón, the doorway into New Mexico, right?
Really?
Paso del Norte sounds a whole lot better.
Well, Paso del Norte, remember, was Ciudad Juárez.
Right, but I mean...
So that was the beginning, the Paso del Norte.
Well, you're going to correct me on a lot of things, because I have misnomers on Don Juan de Oñate was a conquistador. No, he wasn't, right?
No, he was not. By the time he came here, he was already an older person. He was governor of New Mexico, so when he took possession of the land at San Elizario, he was already coming with the title of governor of New Mexico. So his job was to bring all of these 539 people with him, about 3 miles long, 7,000 head of livestock, which included cattle, horses, chickens, pigs, sheep, animals that we had not seen here or that were not seen here, and seeds, he brought with him all kinds of things. They were experimenting along the way, planting different plants to see what would grow. And so his job was to protect this group of people that were men, women, children. There were families, and there were only about, 200, maybe 200 soldiers in that group. So...
All right, the Spanish influence began sort of really right there. There had been a couple of expeditions before him. Coronado kind of came near here. Coronado didn't even come to El Paso, but he got the shopping center. And the high school.
Yeah, that's right. He had a high school in Arizona where we used to live. Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
But there is
a Don Juan de Oñate High School in Las Cruces, and Don Juan de Oñate, he actually went up the east side of the river. Once he came across, he went up the east side. Right. He went right through what's Pepe's restaurant right now. He went right through that area.
Yeah, he did.
I did, and Pepe knows that.
All the way up through Las Cruces and up north to through Socorro and into Española.
And
Juan de los Caballeros was his stopping point, and that's where they kind of settled.
And so that began really the Spanish influence in the area, and that was the earliest European influence of any kind, was it not?
Right, here in this area.
In our area. Well, actually, yes. Pretty much this expedition for Oñate, I believe it's referred to as an entrada. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that became an event way before even the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock. We just want to point that out every time we can.
Yes.
Now, whether or not there was a first Thanksgiving, what do you think about that? Do you call the mass they had at the river in 1598 April a Thanksgiving mass, or what do you call it?
I think it was a mass in Thanksgiving, but it's not a Thanksgiving that we consider a Thanksgiving. When
okay.
we think of Thanksgiving, we think of a big party where we're sharing our food with the natives, and it really wasn't that. It was their little group who had mass at that particular time. They had already made it through some very difficult areas where they were afraid that they would meet up with Apaches, and thankfully they hadn't. So,
all right, here's the deal.
They said a mass in Thanksgiving.
I'll make you a deal. For PR purposes, we're going to call it the first Thanksgiving compared to the Pilgrims. I mean,
okay.
For PR purposes. I mean, give us a break here. Because a guy named Sheldon Hall spent a whole lot of time pushing that. And he actually went up to Plymouth Rock and got arrested for it. It was an interesting event. So there's a lot of that history.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the Spanish influence in the area.
He was my predecessor, too.
Oh, yes, that's true.
So that's right.
He was
an honorary consul of Spain here in El Paso.
And his daughter has been our call screener. We got Bernie Sargent in there today. And the main man on the electrons is Michael Rivera. Should we say Michael Rivera?
Yeah.
We could give him that announcement. Well, we thank you guys in there in the dark. I think he's in there. I can't really see him. But the electrons seem to be going. All right, Martha, how would you start a discussion? I've already started it with this business with Oñate. How would you tell people the first thing if you did a discussion with them in a group? What would you say about Spanish influence? What's important?
What's important is that the Spaniards brought a different way of life. They brought the Spanish language. They brought Christianity. They brought Catholicism. They brought all kinds of livestock. They brought the longhorn cattle that we think is a Texas cow. It was actually a Spanish cow that was brought here. So...
They had the first cowboys.
And the cowboy, el vaquero.
The vaqueros, yes.
So yes, because they had to run all of this cattle up, all of the livestock up, rodeos, lariat, everything that we see as a cowboy was actually Spanish. They were incredible horsemen.
And so the horses they brought were incredibly important to them as transportation. Can you imagine a Native American, all of a sudden he sees a cloud of dust coming up next to the river, and he looks over, and there's this thing that looks like a human, but he's in metal. They don't know what that is. And he's riding on a horse, and they don't know what that is. So you look at that coming up, and they had all these Spanish plumes on their helmets and flags and going on. Can you imagine that Native American saying, oh, my God, what is going on here? That would be an incredible – like at Keystone Heritage Park, there would have been a settlement there, right, Melissa?
Yes.
And they would have seen coming up, right?
Yeah, they would have run into
them. Here's another thing I wanted to add. They were not wearing armor. Armor was a very special, military garb. And coming through El Paso in April, as we can feel now, our weather's getting a little bit warmer. They would not have been wearing that. They would have been wearing regular clothes.
But they would have had armor, right? If they went, they
needed
to. No. If they needed armor,
they
would have had it.
If they needed armor, they would have worn it.
Okay, take it one step further. What kind of hat would they have worn? That conquistador hat looked really hard to deal with.
Right. No, I think they just wore something to cover their heads, hats maybe.
Baseball caps.
I mean, can you imagine riding a horse that long where they're traveling, 21 leagues or so per day?
No, I can't imagine. No.
You couldn't do that. You'd have a headache and a half.
And the horses couldn't take the extra weight also. So you wanted your horses to get the most mileage as possible.
And they had like 88 carretas with them, and the poor oxen they had that going along, they were pulling those. And I understand they had two oxen in front hooked up all the time and two in the back just kind of like lazily driving up behind them, ready to go. Spare oxen. You know, if you're going to go anywhere, Melissa, take your oxen.
Yeah, your oxen or your mule or donkey.
Can you imagine? Martha Vera is our guest here by phone coming in, and we got her for 2 hours. I hope your cell phone's in good shape, is it?
Oh, it is.
Okay, good. We need to take a break here. We normally do trivia right about here, but we're not going to do that. We could ask ourselves trivia questions and see if we get the answers.
We're pretty trivial.
Yeah, it is. But just to get into the issues at hand, we're going to take a break and come back in a minute and tell you some things about our sponsors and also about some videos that you can see online for free. That's a good thing, isn't it? We will be taking calls. Bernard's in there looking for the phone to ring, and we'll put them on air if we can. And that number is
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Hi, I'm Patrick Tuttle, the real estate guy with Legacy Real Estate Services. If you're going to sell your home this spring, you owe it to yourself to give me a call at 915-585-7777. I offer flexible fees, no upfront costs, and if you don't like me, fire me.
Hi, Jackson Polk here from the El Paso History Show. And I just bought a house through Patrick Tuttle. He's a real estate expert in El Paso, and he should be your agent.
I'm Patrick Tuttle. Call me at 915-585-7777.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
An important message from iHeart Automotive.
Your local auto dealers understand that while your need for a car hasn't changed, your financial situation may have. Dealers are providing low interest rates and flexible payment terms that don't begin for months. Please visit your local dealer's website to find great deals on all brands. A message from iHeart Automotive and your local automotive dealers.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We are live on the radio here on April the 4th, and we're doing this because we need to do this. There's so much other information coming out, Melissa. Yeah. I'm tired of that. We can't get too tired of it, but I'm tired of it.
And people have been really, really nice on Facebook about it, saying they're so glad to hear us being on rather than, like you said, the other things. We're sort of kind of COVID-ed out.
It's 100%, but we're going to do our 1% here. Yeah. And we're doing that on purpose because I think El Paso history needs to be known everywhere. And we get involved, you go to Facebook, and you can go to Facebook, and what's that Facebook page?
It's El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page, and you can comment or send us notes or whatever, and we've had some real nice notes from people. Thank you very much to our listeners.
And we thank you for doing that. We've had over, how many was it, 5,000 people, plus almost 6,000 people reached on the promo we had for Martha Vera, and we'll put Martha back on in a minute here. But a couple of things to tell you about, some things we've done. I've made videos for the last 20 years, and I put them out about El Paso. We tried to sell a few. We put some on PBS. And so what I've done now, I put them all online. Yeah. So if you want to go see them for nada, no cost, and you want to look at some history and see what's going on, take a look at those because we've got a whole bunch of videos there. Go to the playlist. I mean, there's like 120 videos kind of randomly stuck there. but the two playlists. The first one is about the documentaries. Guess what the second one's about?
No idea.
Broadcasting. We've done broadcasts with ABC7, and we gave them four more for April. I don't know if they're going to run them. They're kind of going pretty hard and heavy over there.
Yeah, I bet they will, though, because I think everybody's kind of getting that feeling they need a little bit more news than rather than just the disease news.
Well, what they are is stories about El Paso. They're short, quick stories. If you didn't know something about a certain thing that we have in El Paso, we put that on ABC7, and hopefully you'll go look them up better. But the guy in the cowboy hat on air is Bernie Sargent.
That's right.
And we thank him for doing that. And by the way, in the series, we went down to Chicken Ranch Road at the bottom of the county.
Chicken Ranch Road.
But that is actually the place where Oñate crossed.
Yeah.
And Bernie says that's where, and they put a sign down there with the Historical Commission, that BLM signs as well, that is where Oñate had his party.
Yeah, can you imagine the directions turn left at Chicken Ranch across the river?
Well, if you're local, that makes very common sense. All right, a number of things to tell you about. One is that Facebook page. The other one is the YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/El Paso History TV. Go there and see the stuff I've just described. We've got some brand new subscribers since last week. Marx Moxa, Olga Viel, Bonnie Juarez, I know her, CJM Sierra, CD Jones, Chris Martinez, Mark Santos, Adrian Rodriguez, bunch of people glomming on there. And what happens is when you get on there and just follow us is all you do. And when we put a notice out, you then hear about what we have coming up.
I have a quick question. Somebody asked me, is the Six Guns video, the Four Dead and Five Seconds, or the Old West History video we did?
There's two. We have one short video, the Four Dead and Five you did about 4 years ago.
That's and then the long one?
The one called Gunfights of the Old West is on there. So go take a look.
I was asked, so I wanted to double
check. Well, you're in that one. You and Bernie are both in that one.
Yeah.
And then Bernie.
The movie premiere.
And 100 million of you guys are in the other one. So, yeah, the Six Guns and Shady. And like everybody else, you're kind of inactive right now. But I'm sure in your mind you're having gunfights.
Oh, last night it was Chinese and basketball. Go figure that dream.
I don't want to know about that. Anyway, and of course, we normally announce the Museum of Archaeology and the Archery. Nada.
No.
The poppies are waning, but I still think there's a few out there, but that's it. Okay, what do you got?
Well, they don't want you to even go into the parking area up there.
No,
yeah,
they don't.
Isn't that sad? Oh, yeah, all of our normal historic sites and lecture events are canceled because of that pesky virus COVID-19 in the city of El Paso, and that includes Keystone Heritage Park. We had pretty much tried to keep the park open through all this for people to get out there and get some fresh air, which is healthy for people, and get out to hike and do bird watching and all kinds of great things. But unfortunately, the city jumped a little ahead of things and knocked everybody down in the private parks. But I think the state parks, they aren't open either because...
No hiking, no trails, no nada.
But see, in the state...
No, nada. The governor is the one who started this.
No, he didn't say the state parks.
Mike, they're all closed, right? Mike says they're all closed.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, you.
Because I read it up, that's why.
Well, DeMargo came out with the Simon Yego and said basically there's no trail activity, period. That includes the state park.
Because a couple of people got obnoxious.
We're moving on from that. We're not going
to
do
that
anymore.
I had to say that.
We're
going
to talk to Martha Vera because she's here on the line. Martha, and thank you for coming on the show by phone. Go back to your common discussion when you talk to people. And you're available to talk to groups, are you not?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You want to put a number or maybe an email out there for people to find you? If you think about that.
You can either call me at 915-274-9563 or consulspain@gmail.com. Just send me an email and I'd be happy to come and talk to your group.
Consulspain at Gmail?
Consul, yes. C-O-N-S-U-L.
Consul, C-O-N-S-U-L.
Spain.
Spain.
And
at gmail.com.
Got it.
You can capitalize Spain on Gmail. They don't care.
You don't care. No.
No, they don't. Oh, Martha, tell us some more points of your lecture, because I got a couple. In fact, since we mentioned the virus, which I wasn't planning on, but we did mention it just now. Okay, you got to answer the question about the Spanish flu in 1918.
Yes.
What about that?
Okay, and that's a great trivia question. Where did the pandemic of 1918 start?
Where?
Can you tell me?
Ohio.
I know where it was.
Ohio. Where?
Not in Spain.
It was in the U.S.,
so
I believe.
Why was it called the Spanish flu? It was called the Spanish flu because during World War I, Spain was one of the few major countries that remained neutral during World War I. When all countries were in news blackout, Spain was able to report about everything that was happening in the world. So they started reporting about this disease, this influenza that was hitting. And when people started listening to the Spanish radio to get news because they couldn't get it on their own, they thought that it had originated in Spain. Now, there's questions. So did it originate in China, France, U.S.? The Spanish started calling it the French flu because somebody from France brought it to Spain. So it was, I mean, so it didn't really start in Spain. So here's the deal. What happened at that time, there was a young military person who had come with the flu to the U.S. And he was coming with other military personnel. And let's see, the doctors were fearing that this influenza would have a very difficult time in the United States and that it was going to spread. However, Wilmer Cruiser, who was at that time the public health director, assured civilians that the soldiers were suffering from old-fashioned seasonal flu.
Oh.
And there was going to be a big parade in Philadelphia. And people were asking him, should we have the parade? Should we have the parade? He thought it was better to have the parade because it was called the Liberty Loan Parade, and it raised millions of dollars for the war bonds. So the parade happens on September 28th. 72 hours later, Philadelphia hospitals are full, and 2,600 people died by the end of that week.
Just in Philadelphia?
So, yeah.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Just in Philadelphia alone. Ooh. Yes.
All right, so it wasn't
the
Spanish...
the parade was a bad idea.
Right.
But what we learned at that time was wear your masks. In fact, San Francisco had a decree that you really needed to wear your mask or you got fined.
Well, I got to tell you, we're not wearing masks here in the studio, and you're not going to get sick from us because this is radio. However, you can be, you can become addicted.
That's right.
Addicted to El Paso history. How about that?
Yes.
That's what we do.
That's because we got great guests like this.
Yeah, no, I mean, Martha knows a lot of stuff. Martha, keep going here. The Spanish flu was a question I know we had to cover. But moving on to other things Spanish, I mean, you look around. How much about the food? Because, I mean, is a taco Spanish or is that Mexican?
That's a blend, and that's probably the oldest known food that we have from the Juan de Añates coming here. There were tortillas from the cornmeal that were created by the indigenous people. You know, they had kind of a liquid form of corn.
What?
That they used.
Wait a minute. Liquid corn? You put that in your car? Or
An atole kind of thing.
Yeah, like a maize type.
It was like the maize, crushed maize, and they would eat it. It didn't hold form very well. The Spaniards also brought a different form of corn, or maybe they had, once they found it here, it changed a little bit to where it was a little bit more... consistent of a masa when you put it together. So those two corns coming together created more of a masa.
Okay.
And they started making the tortillas.
All right.
While the Juan de Oñate is on his way over here, he's bringing dried meat and all of this livestock and all of these families. Everyone ate together. And there were natives with him.
And they all ate chicken.
As well. They all ate roasted whatever.
Oh, exactly.
On the wood.
Okay. And, keep going.
And so the taco is probably the oldest form of food. Kind of, we like to think it's indigenous to our area, but it was something that was developed along the way.
Don Juan,
it was easy to carry that kind of food with you, so it was the first sandwich.
Yeah, it's just
well, yeah, I mean, it was takeout. That's what they had. We did have a question come in. We had a question come in by phone, and if you want to call us, we'll take a call or two and put them on the air. But the question came in by phone, what kind of horses did Doñate ride on when he got here? What did he bring with him?
Well, you know, I'm not sure the type of horse. The horses that came from Spain were Andalusians.
That was the other question.
Okay. Yes, and so those horses came in, you know, the later that we had ponies and Appaloosas and things that actually these loose horses were got loose and probably evolved a little bit differently. But they came on their horses. They were huge and they were wonderful, wonderful horses. They also brought mules, donkeys. So
the oxen, the ever-present oxen. And, you know, something I noticed, in my fantasies, and if I win the lottery, what I want to do is recreate a Don Juan de Oñate trek between El Paso and Las Cruces and go get some carretas, put them together, and get some oxen and have them there and get some volunteers and say, you win the prize if you get to Las Cruces first.
You get to lead the horses.
Well,
you get
you
to
know,
Don Juan.
No horses.
If we could do something from Valle de Allende all the way up to
Okay,
there you go.
Let's see if we can make it between El Paso. Let's try El Paso and Las Cruces first and see if we can get there. The thing is that you can't yoke the oxen nowadays like you did when in the old days. They when they grew up, those oxen are actually tied together on their horns with a yoke, and they pull the yoke in the middle. Nowadays, an oxen has a thing around his neck, and you'd have to raise them from young to do that. So enough of the details there. But Martha Vera, we're going to talk a whole bunch of things about Spain, Spanish, and the influence that came with that. I mean, there's so many things that went on here. We'll have to talk for the next hour and change. We're going to keep doing it. We should probably take a break, Miguel. Is that right? We're going to do that. And we will take a phone call. Bernie's in there. And
Bernie.
He will actually put the phones on the air.
He'll talk to you. Yes.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He'll talk to us.
He's alive.
We thank him for doing that. And in the meantime, that number would be?
Would call. You would do this. Call 915-544-5876. 915-544-KTSM.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
Texas now reporting 145 of 245 counties have reported COVID-19 cases. The Texas Workforce Commission establishing a new schedule based on area codes to determine when you can file for unemployment insurance. Last week, more than 242,000 Texans filed. San Antonio's testing site no longer requiring a doctor's recommendation. You do still need to call for an appointment before testing. Houston holding a big donation drive at Minute Maid next Wednesday to collect much-needed medical supplies, including masks, gloves, and gowns. Houston Methodist experiments with two more transfusions from recovered patients to critically ill ones. For more on the coronavirus, we have a great resource. Go to the iHeartRadio app and tap the podcast tab for the latest news and information. I'm Nikki Courtney.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino. Enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Amigos at 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with the free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Amigos on Montana has traditional El Paso Mexican food, plus salads, chicken, and chocolate flan. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry. We're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos!
People are really coming together these days to help each other out during the COVID-19. Personal protection equipment and medical devices needed to support public safety and to speed diagnosis and treatment for COVID-19. So stay home, stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll keep you updated on other businesses doing good.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show.
Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Oh, that would be me. I think I'll talk now. The thing, you call Pepe's and get a takeout. You can't go in there like the commercial said. We're not going to change the spots because they'll be back to that. I'm going to guess 4 weeks. Who knows? But in the meantime, you can call them up, 877-2152. That's in El Paso, 915-877-2152. Order takeout and go get it. They are at 6761 Donovan Drive, and it's on the Camino Real. Did you know that?
I know.
We mentioned that earlier.
You eat right on the Camino Real.
Well, you have to eat outside today because you can't get in there.
I know. Normally when you're in the
restaurant. By order of the court or whoever they are, somebody. But also Amigos.
That's right. Amigos are a Mexican food restaurant at 2000 Montana. You can also get pickup from them, too, and their number is 533-0155, and you can order out and pick it up and have a nice evening or lunch, or he even serves breakfast.
He does. Now, he's open 8 a.m. till 2 p.m., and I think go look on the Facebook page for Pepe's. They're changing it for a couple of days. They're open till 5, whatever. Call them up, and
find out what's happening.
And there's one more crowd we talk about, Mission Del Rey.
Yeah,
merchandise available at missiondelrey.com.
I've been online shopping, so look at their extensive online catalog, and you can pick out some gifts and decor items to be shipped to your door anywhere in the world, like a family member or such, birthdays, whatever. So go to missiondelrey.com. So please do support our local small businesses, okay?
And they're open and they're available because delivery services are a priority that you can still get around. And it's also you're a priority if you're going to go get food and come back, like to the Walmart. But instead, go to Pepe's or go to Amigos. That's what I would recommend.
That's right.
And it's good stuff. Okay, Martha Vera is on the phone here. Martha, what else do we need to know about Spain? Because we're just getting started.
Well, let's see. There is so much to learn. You know that Spain helped the young Americans, the Constitutional Army, win the American Revolution. Without Spain, France and the U.S. would not have been able to win the war.
So against
Spain
the Britons.
Was very important in us getting our independence.
Okay, the United States became that, but they were the colonies, and their disagreement was with Great Britain, and so they formed a group here. We're fighting Great Britain. They asked France for help. They got some help there, but France also suggested they tap Spain, correct?
Correct.
By that time,
England was seen as a huge threat to any kind of Western expansion. So the people that were interested in Western expansion were, of course, the colonies, the Spain, and France. So all of them together were upset at England. Of course, the colonists, they wanted freedom from taxation, and they wanted their own freedom.
And they wanted better dental care. No,
right.
that's just a current joke. Never mind.
Oh.
No, but the thing is, you were telling me that some of the stuff that came from Spain to the American colonies came from the El Paso and Albuquerque and Santa Fe area. Is that right?
Well, you know, this was a huge port. This was a very important terrestrial port. Once Spain started developing all of its trade routes, we were the hub. Anything that came from went to the Floridas or came from the Floridas could actually go directly to Spain. But if there was anything coming from Mexico, it could also go from here. Also west, you know, the Camino Real de las Californias, the Camino Real de Tierra Fuera, all of these routes, trade was important. And whoever had the most territory kind of was the strongest power because they were economically strong. It was all about trade. And so there is a war the war is really an economic war. Who was going to get the most land first?
And that happened. New Spain did did do a lot of work. When New Spain became Mexico, what was it, 1825, somewhere in there?
Somewhere
1821.
21, okay. So up until then, I mean, the American Revolution came and went, and the War of 1812 came and went. So I guess Spain was helping all along the way. So that is part of a history that a lot of people don't know. When you look at the area of El Paso, Albuquerque, Santa Fe, and this whole corridor that first Don Juan de Oñate went up, and then, by the way, they kicked him out. You know that.
Who kicked who out?
Don Juan got kicked out of New Mexico at one
point. Oh, yeah. You're out of here.
But then the Spanish, let's ask about that. The Spanish got kicked out of New Mexico in the Pueblo Revolt. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, wait a minute. Go back to Don Juan de Oñate, because I didn't understand that.
Well, he
didn't get kicked out of Mexico.
No, he got kicked out of northern New Mexico.
He got
arrested and sent down the trail because he had done something the Spanish guys didn't like. Am I correct?
You know, there was a lot of stuff. There were archives, and later he was pardoned.
Oh.
Because they found out that was not exactly the case.
Oh.
Yeah, because he would always
was trying to keep the law here, and he was trying to follow the king's rules. You know, the king had rules, many rules, and most of them were to protect the natives. There were other people that wanted to also be in power here. And so they were saying that Don Juan de Oñate, probably the worst thing that had happened was that he had cut off the right foot of the Acoma warriors.
Did he really do that?
But he did. Oh. He did that to about 9 to 12 people, because there were 9 to 12 of his military that had been massacred at Acoma.
One of his nephew was one of them.
His nephew was one of them.
Okay.
So that's why that happened. It wasn't that that he did it on his own, that they were trying to be mean to the natives. They were trying to keep order and the law. And so when Don Juan de Oñate was really upset about what was it that he was going to do to make sure that they kept the law, what was a just law, he even consulted with the Franciscans that had come with him. What would make a just war, or how could he go and make things right so that the natives would also follow the laws that they had already promised to follow?
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, Martha, we had some phone calls and they went away. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
They had promised to follow those rules. So what Don Juan de Oñate does is he sends another group of people up toward Acoma of military, and they asked them. They had to ask them for the people that had massacred the 12, and they wouldn't give them anyone. In fact, after three times that they asked, the Acoma Pueblo started to fight. And so they decided to go ahead and take it on and fight back. And in doing so, they, of course, won. They went up and took 12 of the
Acomas.
Of the Acomas.
Yeah. Well,
and instead of killing them, because this was a European law, it wasn't something that he invented. This was what they were doing. They were no longer had the death penalty.
Okay.
They were punishing in a different fashion. You were still going to live, but you were going to remember what you did.
All right, let's do this. So, Martha, let's hold on a second for the rest of the Pueblo Revolt. I want to hear that. We have a caller named Esteban. He's on the radio. Good morning, Esteban.
Well, I have a couple of food questions.
Go ahead.
Martha, is paella a relatively new dish, or was that made as far back as the conquistadors?
Paella.
The rice dish.
Paella was made quite a long time ago. It started in Valencia, Spain, and it was originally made with rabbit.
Oh, my. Rabbit stew.
Yes. And so the paella that we know today with seafood is fairly new, you know, probably 150 years or so, but The original was with rabbit and chicken and whatever else they had, because it was
if it moved, they ate it.
Maybe a dish that people had around Holy Week, and it was something that was easy to put together. It was a poor man's dish. It was a rice and saffron and.
I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. Esteban, do you have another question?
The second question I had was, I can't find anybody in El Paso or Juarez that can tell me, how do you say pancakes in Spanish?
Pancakes. How do you say
it? In Spain, do they call pancakes pancakes like they do in El Paso by the border?
Pancakes.
Is there a Spanish word for pancakes?
I like that one.
No, that's a good one. They call them pancakes. Pancake.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're going to buy that, but it's about the same.
Yeah, because pan's bread.
Esteban, I think you're right, Esteban.
We're talking about food.
Yeah.
Did you know that buñuelos, flan, churros, those are all Spanish dishes, and they were actually Sephardic Jewish dishes. They were desserts.
Ah.
Pancakes.
Okay. Well, Esteban, thank you for calling up, dude. We're going to take a break here. Martha, don't go anywhere. We need you when you get back here. In the meantime, 544-5876
or 544-KTSM.
Hi, I'm Patrick Tuttle, the real estate guy with Legacy Real Estate Services. If you're going to sell your home this spring, you owe it to yourself to give me a call at 915-585-7777. I offer flexible fees, no upfront costs, and if you don't like me, fire me.
Hi, Jackson Polk here from the El Paso History Show. And I just bought a house through Patrick Tuttle. He's a real estate expert in El Paso, and he should be your agent.
I'm Patrick Tuttle. Call me at 915-585-7777.
Amigos at 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with the free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Amigos on Montana has traditional El Paso Mexican food, plus salads, chicken, and chocolate flan. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry. We're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos.
This is an American Red Cross blood donation alert. We are currently facing a severe blood shortage. Healthy blood and platelet donors are asked to make an appointment to give now. Donating blood is safe and can help save lives. Please schedule an appointment by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS today. A social distancing tip from iHeartRadio.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by iHeartRadio and the Ad Council.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Everything is still closed. That's what our announcements are.
There's the announcement.
Normally,
it's closed.
Normally,
we'll
tell you Archaeology Museum has a thing going on. They do not.
It's closed.
And you can't even go into grounds out there. However, the History Museum is closed. However, you can go to digi.com and look at History of El Paso, all kinds of stuff. I pop up there occasionally. You probably pop up there here and there.
Once in a while. See, like, oh, my gosh, catch me off guard. Okay, I've got the Sunset Film Society and the International Museum of Art is closed.
But they're chomping at the bit, those
people. But they're ready to return as soon as they can. And also, we want to remind you again to, go to Pepe's and give them a call and pick up some food there, as well as Amigos. you know, we need to support our local vendors. And these guys are such great people. I went last week and I got double chicken soup sopa. That's the cure for COVID-19 is their chicken sopa.
Oh, that's
it's chicken soup.
And it was something
it's
like
great
that.
Great stuff.
We may have a call or two. We may have to put you over into the second hour. And Martha, we may get to the Pueblo Revolt eventually. But that's something I think you could address as a Spanish consul person, can't you? Put Martha back on.
Martha.
Hey, Martha. We need Martha.
Hey.
There she is. Where am I?
How are you?
Oh, yeah, we got
First
you now.
Of all, I want to thank everyone for listening in. I know that we've got people from Houston, from New Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Austin, Texas. So.
And you got the app to work.
Thank you for listening.
The one on the radio show webpage, ktsnradio.com, you said that was an issue. So everybody needs to get, if they're going to do this, they ought to go onto the iHeartRadio app and look up KTSN because it's working there, right? Yes, it is.
Yes,
KTSM.iHeart.com.
Well, they're listening.
Or
they're listening.
The app works better.
Yeah, yeah. And they're listening in New Mexico and Houston, she just told us. There's that. No calls right now, Bernie. I see the lights are all lit up. We don't need any of that. Okay. But the thing about the Pueblo Revolt, just to put a bit of a spin on that, that was in, 1680, in October the 10th. Everybody in New Mexico who was an Indian knew that day was the day to get up and ride against the Spaniards and kill as many as you had in front of you, except the Isleta Pueblo in the south. They apparently didn't get the message, but that was done by runners who had sent a rope around with knots in it.
She's correcting you.
I know she will. Go ahead.
Actually, yes,
what happened? What
no,
happened?
No, that's not. Okay, so after the Acoma and their foot gets cut off, and there was peace. There was peace for 84 years.
Right. We've got one minute left here, by the way. Go ahead.
Okay. There was peace for 84 years, and then at that time was when the Pueblo Revolt happened. Don Juan de Oñate was far gone.
Oh, yeah.
It was his son.
He was gone.
Yes. His son was his second governor. By that time, he has already been pardoned. The Spaniards are pushed down to Isleta. The Isleta Pueblo del Sur comes with them. And then a few years later, the Spanish come back. And as the natives come back and ask the Spanish to go back north to help protect them.
Okay, right there. We got to stop and pick up the Pueblo Revolt after the news. Because Martha Vera, thank you for being here. But stick around because we're going to do some more discussion till noon. And the Pueblo Revolt, I think, is a major incident that a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah.
Melissa, you're coming back after the
I'm coming back and hopefully callers will come back.
I want to be. Well, you got some callers. We'll do. Martha, stay there. We'll see you after the news right here on the El Paso History Radio Show.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for archived copies of this radio show. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.
Newsmax TV.